As I planned for reading through the third chapter of the book of Judges this morning, I was going to do a much more extended time than just verses 7 through 11, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought better of it, and so we have a rather short little paragraph today, but it's an important one. The outward results of Israel's unfaithfulness consist in a series in this book, a series of oppressions and then servitude to other nations. But nevertheless, God periodically will raise up a judge to deliver his people. It's always an answer to their cries in the midst of their suffering. And the judges are often just very obscure and ordinary men. And in one case, a woman whom God empowers by his Spirit. They have some gifts of their own, but they're totally dependent on God. Now, the first of the judges is Othniel, and he's already made an appearance earlier. In chapter 1, he is shown as the nephew of Caleb and one who goes to battle to defeat some of the inhabitants of the land and also to win the hand of Caleb's daughter. And here he is again. And maybe it's appropriate that the earlier little story laid the groundwork, because we're not told much about what Othniel does here as a judge. But instead, he appears as a paradigm for all the ones that are going to follow. This is how it will go, in other words, is what the writer is telling us. Israel's infidelity will bring Yahweh's wrath. He will deliver them into the hands of their enemies for punishment. As they suffer, they will eventually cry out in anguish, and then God will raise up a Savior, small s, but a Savior nonetheless. And we learn here, I think, first of all, that Yahweh God is the one who orders history. There aren't any circumstances, there aren't any accidents, there aren't any quirks of fate, but God steadily working to accomplish his purpose. And we learn, too, that he won't let his people go. We might want to dismiss Israel and say, look, I've given you every chance, and this is it, last one, and I'm out of here. But not God. He refuses to allow his people to remain comfortable in their sin. We see also that when they cry out, it is in distress, not repentance. And that tells us something, too. Because when Yahweh raises up a Savior for Israel, he's responding to their pain, not their penitence. Think of the great love of which we've just sung that allows that to be possible. It's his people's distress that prompts God's pity. And it's because of his grace and his grace alone that he delivers them. As it is, Yahweh, who gives Israel into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram, is also the one who, by his Spirit, delivers Cushan into the hand of Israel. It's the Spirit of God who delivers them into servitude and who delivers them into salvation. There can be no missing the point of the text that it's God who provides salvation. Little Israel's God is the Lord of history. But not only in Othniel's day, but in ours as well. And these passages, in all their horror, give hope to the Church of Jesus Christ. We are comforted by the fact that God is in control. Let me just read these few verses, beginning in verse 7 of chapter 3. Hear now the word of the Lord. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asheroth. Therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he said to them, and he sold them rather into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the people of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, the Lord raised up a deliverer for the people of Israel who saved them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. So the land had rest for 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. That paradigm will follow us all the way through the book as we see God's grace shown in the darkest of hours, a grace that comes not because it's deserving, but because of God's great love for us.